Chubby Fresh.
What's up?
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem, bro.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me, Brad. Hey, shout out Scott Stearns, old diehard. He's in a band with him, put out this record.
Bat Sacrifice, it's called, with Fistula.
Still he, have a, he did the artwork, though, right?
That's it.
I'm going to say, that's Scott's, that's artwork for sure. Shout out. This episode's brought to you by
Bat Sacrifice.
Bat Sacrifice.
With Corey Bing, Bob Branca, Scott Stearns.
Gifts. Appreciate them. I'm going to put my website later on my Instagram. First three people to order a shirt today gets a free CD.
There you go.
So
act fast. He's got a lot of good shit around here.
Yes, sir.
So that's where we are right now. We're at your print facility.
My warehouse in beautiful Mentor, Ohio.
This is your day to day.
This is my day to day.
I'm going to start off now.
I print all my own stuff. So my day to day, like when I get orders, I come here, I print them, whether it's CDs, LPs, t-shirts, hoodies, tank tops, crew necks, zip ups. We make everything right to order, whether it's my One Life Crew or my band Heavyweight or my bike style brand Bike Styles or my Cleveland brand Hometown. Everything's made right here. There's all the bins and back, 125 bins of all blanks. Everything's made right to order.
And Tom, and not just all sorts of stuff, hockey jerseys. I was super stoked you had the shirts on the comfort colors.
That's what people are into. I don't like them, but that's, it's like people are into that stuff
now. I love the comfort colors now.
So when everyone people are into, that's the brand I'm going to carry. So, you know.
I got no problem saying fuck the Bella and Canvas.
I love Canvas Bella. They're just soft shirts. They're comfortable, minimal shrinkage, nice length. They're just soft. But I mean, if it depends with, like, say you wanted to get an order for your band, you want a comfort colors or jerseys or Gildan or whatever you want, I make everything in order. I can get you whatever you want. You don't just have to be what you want, you can get, you know what I'm saying?
And you take on, you print for other clients,
anybody,
right?
Anyway, just get at me. Information will be at the bottom of the screen at the end of the video in the comments. I can get in touch with me.
Perfect starting out point. I wanted to start off with your day to day.
That's my day to day.
And then we're going to go Tarantino style. So we're going to bring it all the way back to the beginning.
Let's go.
So I'm doing my best to synthesize what I heard from the podcast you already did. So I can keep it on track a bit. From what I remember, you said you felt like music was in your blood. Your grandpa was jazz
music.
Drummer.
Music's always been in my blood. So I mean, that's, you know, not necessarily hardcore. I mean, you know, I grew up. My grandfather played with Glenn Miller. He played polka varieties in Cleveland. He did big band music. But I think the first, like I said, I think I mentioned, like the first record I used to come home and play with that I put on the record player and play my grandpa's drums was Open Arms by Journey and Back in Black by AC/DC.
I love Open Arms.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's a song. But you know, you know, fast forward a little bit to that. As I got older, when I got in the band with actually Scott Stearns with Die Hard and then Integrity, Slayer was the band.
Okay.
Slayer's been that's my favorite band of all time.
Slayer.
That and NWA. So you get the Slayer is actually, they're slow hardcore to me. They're like hardcore metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rappy foot comes from the NWA because I like that, you know, the rap stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where I get my drumming. But it's definitely, you know, Slayer being a drummer, you know, is definitely the band that really that made me who I am, basically.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people would agree with that, too. You said in the interview, did you say your grandpa adopted you?
Yeah. My mom was in the picture, but you know, my grandparents adopted me and my brother. Back in the day, they had the stability. They had money.
Your grandparents are talking about.
Yeah, so the hospitalization and stuff like that. My mom was still in the picture, but my grandparents are, they're you know.
What about your dad?
I didn't find out who my dad was until I was 45 years old.
Wow, okay.
So, and he was in jail for bad things. And
so you didn't
That's
know.
All over the internet, you know.
If
you want to find out about
that.
My dad, all you got to do is go to Integrity's Facebook page and darkempire.com, and they talk about my dad, who's I met once in my whole life, which is really birth dad, but never met him.
Okay.
But they want to dwell on him. But if you look at there, you can look up the court records and all the shit. I met the guy once out of respect because I found I had a sister, and I went to visit them in jail out of respect for my sister, who I find out a sister.
Okay.
And her and my nieces, her kids.
Wow. So you, so you I don't, didn't mean
the guy's the not my dad, but it's a birth dad.
No, I understand. I don't know.
The chirpers. No facts. Sorry.
I don't know the lore behind it. So that is interesting. So you didn't meet him until you're 45.
Yeah.
And then you met him once in jail.
Yeah.
What was that like?
The first thing he said, well, it was a couple months, like, he wants me to have his last name. I'm like, I don't even know you. And I left there never knowing him. He died, you know, a year later or something like that. And I didn't go to funeral of him. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know who these people are. There's no disrespect, but I didn't know you my whole life.
But there was the disrespect. You know, there,
there's
was
reasons, you know, I mean, there's reasons behind people. Like, you know what? My mom, you know, she was married to a notorious bike crew in Cleveland, you know, no names. And so I come from the bike industry. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I've been around it my whole life. That's why my company Bike Styles, and I'm friends with a lot of the biker crews. All the big crews. And I'm not just one. You know, you got to be friends with everybody. I'm not in no crew myself. I'm just me. But so, you know, the lifestyle people have when they're, you know, a lot of people's parents, some people didn't come for money.
Yeah.
Some people come from broken homes, you know, drug. You know, you don't know what people's story is. I mean, my mom was just, my grandparents just had the money in the hospitalization. And you just rocked with them. They, you know, they took over to legal matters. My mom was still a picture till this day. She's never like not left the picture.
Sure.
But you have to do what you have to do to survive. No, that's not a bad thing. I mean, how many people don't even know who their dads are, or, you know, that are adopted or live in foster homes and orphanages? You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't know anyone's anything. But when you do bands like this and you meet people and they ask questions, I'm an open book.
And I appreciate that.
Ask me anything. But I can't say a lot of stuff because of my lawyer says not to say anything until I blow everyone's whistle.
And if we need to edit anything out for any legal issues, that will be done.
There'll be no editing.
Nice. Edit. Off the cuff. Did you feel like that had an influence on you growing up without your dad, growing up with your grandparents?
No. Grandparents were my grandparents. It wasn't like they were that's my mom and dad. That's my grandparents. You know your role. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like me, my band. I play drums. Mm-hmm. I don't play guitar.
Yeah.
I know my role. But no, it's not like it's made me a better person. Nothing like that. It's just things happen in this world. It's not like it's a bad thing. My grandparents, you know, my mom was going through stuff. Not like she ever did. She never drank drugs just like me. Never her whole life. But, you know, things happen in life. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it went. My grandparents. They never called them mom and dad.
Did you, growing up, do you have a history of the attention-seeking behavior? The negative attention-seeking behavior that we're going to see exhibited when we get to the One Life Crew story?
The negative what?
The negative, just, again...
Normal life.
To me.
I'm from the suburbs.
You're busting people's balls. To me, how you guys hung out is how me and my friends hang out. I think it's fucking funny.
Listen,
there's people that can't keep up with it.
Well, listen. If the shoe fits,
yeah,
you got to wear it. But people, you know, whether it's comedy or rap or, you know, people with a message, you know, we're not just some normal band that's going to play 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, hi, hello. We love this. No, my singer went to law school. He's a very smart person. He's like the CNN TMZ of hardcore. He knows what he's talking about. Everything, he doesn't lie about anything. It is what it is, what he says. So when he makes lyrics about illegal people coming to this country, he did that 35 years ago. Fast forward to 2025, it's the worst it's ever been. So that's why that song is more relevant now than ever. If not, you know, more now. I mean, there's ball busting and funny shit, but I mean, that's what we are. We're not a band that's going to sing about, we're going to sing about everything and talk about everything. I mean, if you listen to American Justice, we there's a skit between every song. I mean, it's funny. Is it funny that some people get mad? I'm sure they're going to get mad, but it's our stuff. Mind your business. It's like, if you're a vegan, are you going to go protest outside Burger King every day? It's let people live their life. You're, you know, why go online and say stuff? Why talk shit? You know, I mean, to us, it's about ball busting. It's like the Jerky Boys and funny shit. I mean, that's what it is. It's like music. The music speaks for itself in our music, but the message has always been funny. Makes you think.
Yeah, and that's I wasn't even going towards the political stuff.
Well, everything's political or comedy or wrestling.
But it
is what it is.
Here, let me say what I love about One Life Crew is that you're a band that has a gimmick, or you had a gimmick, but you're not a gimmick band.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me explain what I mean by that.
No, I understand. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you
I
can
get
back
you,
it
I
up.
Get you 100%.
Because your band, the band would be great without that, and I think that's what you have on Crime Ridden Life. But then, for me personally, once you add that, it's the whole fucking package.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the music definitely, I mean, is great music.
But then to have that on top of it is, if you haven't heard,
it's a movie.
If you haven't heard American Justice, it's fucking hilarious. And
you could order the record, double vinyl record. It'll be at the end. It'll tell you where to get all the stuff. But
and you have Repress of Crime Ridden, right?
Crime Ridden Society. Yeah, we did. I did. Well, a couple years ago, my buddy said, you should redo it. Because I hated that people, I didn't even own a copy.
Yeah.
And people are spending like $1,500 on a record. I'm like, dude, I don't want people who like our band to spend that much money. Even myself, I don't have one. So my buddy's like, just put up a pre-order.
Yeah, pre-order.
Put up a pre-order and, you know, we'll get the art for you, help you out. We went live with it and my phone's like, bing, bing, ping, ping, boom, 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 PayPal. Ping, 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 boom, boom, boom. The numbers are going up like slot machine. First one, we only did 500 sold out fucking days. So then I repressed the second one. The first one we did a red, a white, and a blue vinyl, and then a red, white, and blue swirl. Because I said, we're not doing black vinyl because black vinyl doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, black lives matter. Black vinyl doesn't matter. It's a joke. It's a gimmick. It's funny. Get over it. So we didn't do black vinyl because it doesn't matter. And the people want the color. So the second one I did.
All vinyl matters.
All vinyl matters. So the second pressing I did. And again, I'm learning how to do this. This is fun. I did a Lakers color for Kobe because I like Kobe Bryant, Lakers. I did a blue, white, and orange for old school Cavs.
Okay.
I did a Trump gold vinyl, which is the rarest one that sold out like that. And the other one I did a black, white, and red for Jordan.
I mean, I think that's commendable that half your variants were dedicated to African Americans.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought about that. How can we be racist? Our shit's dedicated to African Americans.
It's half and half. I mean, that's disproportionately representing the black population of anything.
Yeah. And then American Justice, We did a camo splatter one, and then we did a black one that time, black, green, and brown, because those colors make camo.
Okay.
So shout out to my African Americans that bought the Kobe and the Jordan.
That's very commendable.
And shout out to the Republicans that bought the Trump one.
Thank you very much.
God bless America. Everyone bought the Trump one. I voted for the first time this year at 54 years old.
I was close to. I still have not.
Yeah, I mean,
I was very close to. I was a big fan of RFK running.
My singer.
I wanted to vote for RFK.
He said, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to. Mean Steve, he said, Tony, you got to. He didn't call me Chubbs. He called me Tony. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes they call me Chubb Fresh. But he's my best friend since fucking, you know, we're probably 13 years old. So
to add to your point about pure disgust or your guys' views on illegal immigration becoming more relevant than ever, you actually have one more notch under your belt in that you can say you predicted 9/11. You said the Oklahoma City bombing was
only the beginning.
So do you take credit for predicting 9/11?
Dude, you know what? I'll tell you honestly, I mean, obviously all Steve, but DeWitt from Integrity, we don't get along, but he was in a studio with us and he wrote Straight Edge for American Crime Ridden Society. He helped a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, hate him or love him, he helped with a lot of stuff. And, you know, at the beginning, he knows all those little things to put between songs. So
they're like, Oklahoma's only beginning. Oklahoma's only beginning. You know, and it goes into it. So he, I mean, he, you know, he had some, you know, obviously, you know, to do with stuff. So he's, you know, he was a friend back in the day. So, you know, it's can't, I'm not going to sit here and knock people that he had a part to do with it. And obviously Steve, him and Steve were just like, they're just, I mean, they're nuts when they used to get together.
Okay.
They like gore and fucking fighting and fucking just, I mean, destruction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sticker bombing the whole country. And going to Kinko's and making stickers of whether it be Confront or do it, you know, Die Hard or Integrity. I mean, we used to put stickers, green, pink, all those colors, blues. You get sheets of stickers and cut them yourself. This is before you probably, you know, this is probably like 87. You know what I'm saying? So
were you born 87?
I was born 95.
Okay. So you weren't even born when you were sticker bombing your city. Mm-mm. But yeah. So that was, that was with all that stuff. Yeah. It's people could predict stuff. I mean, like the people always say we're ahead of the time. Like I said, the Murdario stomp was the 93, and look at the 2025. That song is like, that could be playing on CNN right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it, not to be funny. It's just that those are, some bands sing about what they want to sing about. Some people take it as racist because you're talking about people coming here legally. Well, the key word, you know, and as you watch CNN and you see all these people talking, whether they're white or black, whatever, even Mexicans, they're like, come here legally. Like all of our families come. My family came from Jerusalem or Sicily with a wooden nickel. Who knows if they came here legally? But I mean, we don't know what people do. But you know, now you got to try to do it legally. That's what people are having a problem with. And I mean, like I said, everything should be legal. Do it the legal way. I mean, this is the best country in the world. That's why people want to come here. That's why they get 100 people on a raft, fucking dying halfway over here, trying to make it here with no motor and a boat. I mean. You know, as you travel the world, like I have when I was in Integrity, and you see the way people live, some of these kids, I remember playing Bulgaria, some of these kids make $6 a day. But they have a beautiful apartment, car, gas, insurance, but $6 a day, that's what they make. And they're fine. Different countries are different. Could you imagine making $6 an hour? You couldn't even do that.
I felt the same way about when we were in Ecuador, touring 2 years ago. Never seen that before. There's kit. You know what I mean?
You don't realize what you
the
have.
The store or outside the shows, there's 6-year-old kids selling loose cigarettes, you know, trying to sell cans of soda or something. You don't know when.
We're gifted.
We are. And you don't understand that until you really go to like a decentralized society like that where, you know, when you're in rural Mexico, when you're in rural, we were in rural Colombia, rural Ecuador. You go up to someone's house, there's no gas station, you go up to someone's house, they'll sell you a soda, sell you a water, whatever, and they got their 6-year-old daughter working the counter because there's no job to go get. You can't go up the street and work for a big corporation. You need to create a living for yourself. You need to carve that out.
And I always say Americans, we're very spoiled.
We're privileged in that regard in that people take it for granted that you're owed a job. You know, I mean, people think I'm owed a living, and it grinds against me a bit because I'm an entrepreneur and you eat shit. You know, I mean, I just eat shit all the time. You know, it's to make a living, and I know you can relate to
that.
Not
everybody has.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Me, I've always hustled. I never had a real job my whole life. I've always sold my band stuff, or, you know, I did the motorcycle industry. I mean, you know, I sell, you know, gear, merchandise. I mean, you know, bands, and that's always what I've always done. I mean, I couldn't imagine having a real job and having to clock in. I mean,
I get so resentful. I just can't. I've never had any. I've had whatever pizza delivery jobs, and
a lot of people make a lot of money that Uber stuff. I don't want to Uber people or deliver food.
For me, it's like, it's prostitution for me.
Yeah, they make a lot of money.
If I have to do it, I will do it as little as possible.
There's nothing wrong with doing. Listen. Sell drugs, sell hugs, be a thug, whatever you want to do to put food on the table for your family. That's what people do. That's why crime's up, because you get somebody who went to jail, okay? And they get out of jail like, well, I'm not going to work for fucking $10 an hour. They're going to go back to their old life. Yeah. They have to provide for their family. You know, just like one song that Steve has, life is a game of survival. I'll steal from you to feed me, motivated to do nothing, take an easy way out. There's just lyrics that, you know, Steve that has, like, I'm like,
they're just, they make a mark on you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And again, whether, and I mean, no, a lot of his lyrics are good lyrics. Some people say they're racist because you don't understand them. You don't want to take the time to learn. It's like, man, those are true. Those are facts. People don't want to hear facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And I think people just have very poor media literacy. These days, people have poor, and they're constantly being, I really do feel for the regular people that we're talking about, these people that just on the turn of a dime, they're spouting out, blah, blah, blah. They're screaming because they've been manipulated so much to be at the point where the second they hear anything they disagree with, their mind completely shuts off and they're barking and they don't know what they're talking about.
And they really don't give a fuck.
And that's when you have this argument, if you're going to discuss this topic, people, it's hard to even get a consensus on it because someone comes to you and they make an argument that's very, very, you know what I mean, to say, unlimited people should be able to come in to the United States, unquestioned. I get that they're coming from, they're just, well, people should have a opportunity to make a living or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's the commendable. Right way. Yeah, I mean,
well,
it's
commendable that you're trying to be empathetic. I'll give them that. But on the other hand, they're making an argument. They're using emotion, and then you're responding with logic, in which you say, "We don't have the infrastructure to give unlimited free people unlimited handouts, especially when some of." There's many American citizens that aren't receiving assistance from the government that
people don't see
a lot of immigration
because they don't see it. You're only going to see what you want to see. Like what you just said, that's 100%. We should help out our own people before we help out other people.
If we even decide that we want the government to be providing that kind of assistance. That's its own argument in itself. I would say that's not even a given, that the government assists its own people at the expense of increasing. That's where you have to ask, yes, I understand the government is giving, even if it's giving handout to its own citizens, if we have skyrocketing national debt, we just keep writing blank checks, that might not be sustainable either. And someone on the other side is just going to say, oh, well, that's nice, they're helping them out. It might only be nice in the short term. I'm not an immigration expert. I'm not an expert on any of it, but people are so short-sighted.
But you seem knowledgeable. The thing is, you may not be an expert, but you know what you're talking about.
I'm willing to have a conversation, and I'm willing to
have conversations. It's an argument.
Because they're like pigs being stuffed full of just shit all day long by 24-hour news cycles, by whatever, and they're just at a point where they're so overwhelmed that you say anything controversial, they're not even capable of having a reciprocal conversation, and they just go and I even feel bad for, I have empathy for the illegal immigrants that come here that think, that have been sold this idea that they're going to come here and they see what they're seeing on the news, that maybe certain illegal immigrants aren't being charged with crime, and you're going to get free healthcare, you're going to get free education, and they think they're going to get here and it's going to be a big party, and it's not. It sucks. I see that for the people. It sucks when they get here and they're going to work for minimum wage. You know what I mean? If you're not an English speaking worker, you're going to get a completely unskilled job. You're not going to be able to communicate with anyone except other immigrants that came from your thing unless you learn. And it's the same, you know, I mean, people, they'll say, oh,
well, they do a lot of farming. I'm hearing.
Okay. So
that's why stuff, you know, with people going to get these people and getting them out of here, they're taken away from the farmers and a lot of stuff. So, I mean, again, it's sad. But
it's just bad. Oh, what I'm trying to get at is it's bad for them too. It's not even like, if you're saying you're coming from an America first perspective, I appreciate that. I agree with it. But even for the, you're talking, if you're going to say you know, illegal immigration needs to be curtailed because it's not fair to the Americans. It's not fair to the immigrants. They're being sold a false notion that you're going to come here and it's going to be awesome. Oh, there's white people up here paying $4 for tacos. And you think, oh, how much more money could I make? I'll send the money home. It's like, you're going to go live in a shitty ass spot, you know, because that's where I've lived. I've lived in the Slavic village. I lived in the stockyards. Stockyards is all Puerto Rico. I've lived in poor areas. I work for myself. So I've been poor since I've been an adult. And I live with a bunch of immigrants, or, you know what I mean? White people are the minority where I live. And they're not, you know, it's not a free, it's not this party they're making it out to be to come up here. So I like that. I like that you guys stand by it. I do think that there are elements of, I agree with you, with the immigration-based lyrics. It's more relevant now than ever, and it's something that deserves a discussion. I appreciate that we can have that. Going back to chronological story, without even I think I'm pretty content on immigration. But what I want to get at is, so you're starting Die Hard, Confront.
We started
let me go first. I just want to get at, your personality has always been like this, correct?
100%.
You guys have always been ballbuster.
Yes.
And this was something that didn't even need to be explained at one point, correct?
Yes.
This was just, everyone was like,
hardcore is hardcore.
It's dudes.
But then you have to explain yourself.
And it was the same thing for us, because we were, you know, me and my buddies, this is how we hang out, dude. Call each other faggots.
No one's
other's balls.
No one's being fucking hurtful. If you're an outside party, you'd be like, whew, that's rude. But no one's trying to be rude. And I mean, people, you know, obviously people, everyone's different. But me and you, our personalities are going to be different. We may clash. We may not be able to be friends. You know what I'm saying? Just because, you know, whatever. But you got to give people a chance. And if you don't like someone, you don't like someone. But we've always been ballbusters.
What do you think? And you think, some people just can't handle it.
It's like the one movie. If you can't handle the truth, I mean, it's the truth. You can't handle, then go to a ballet. You know, I mean, don't go to a hardcore show. Don't hang out with hardcore kids. Don't go to the parties. Don't follow them on social media. Stalker, weirdo stalkers out there. God, man.
So go on now. Chronologically, we're in late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, so we're in the mid 80s. You know, me and Steve are best friends. Steve starts a band with a couple guys, starts Confront. I did, you know, Aaron and Scott and Dwayne, we did Die Hard. Then we're just, you know, playing shows together. Just, you know, we're all friends, just playing shows. And then we got rid of Dwayne. We got another singer for Die Hard, Stork. And we put out a record on Conversion Records that I'll be putting that out later this year on awesome. One Life Records. I have to get Scott's number, by the way. And then
I'll give it to you.
Yeah. And then Dwayne, he could never stand still. So then he started like with Derek from Sepultura, the singer, and his buddy Bill Gill. He started Integrity. It was just like a straight edge posse. We already had this posse from Confront and Outface. It was called the Positive Posse.
Okay.
And then, so Dwid did this Integrity thing. It wasn't even a band. Mm-hmm. And then me and him and Aaron from Die Hard and Tom that was in Confront, we started Integrity. Well, Dwid started Dwid's thing. And it was more like a t-shirt sticker company. You know what I'm saying? He's crazy like that.
You're the OG merch core, man.
Yeah, yeah. He printed his own stuff right in his dining room. He knew he's art. Dwid's very artistic. And then so then Steve had this one song, One Life Drug Free and Confront. And so we started, our crew was called the One Life Crew.
Okay.
Because it was One Life Drug Free.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we got our name for One Life Crew. So when Confront stopped, we started doing One Life Crew.
Okay.
And we had Blaze. I met Blaze. And then, you know, so Blaze and me and him. And then this kid Randy, he's a lawyer out here in Mentor. He's Randy Klemmer. He was playing bass. And
And then we only did a handful of shows our whole life. We never did tours and shit. We did some weekend things.
But you were roadieing and stuff.
I roadied for Confront. And then the whole thing with Confront, when Confront broke up, just for the record, so people out there, because I know people say, you weren't in Confront. When Confront broke up, me and Steve did Confront for years. It was me and him, Frank from Hatebreed, and Steve, he sings a Mushroom Head now. He was in Integrity, okay, on To Die For lineup with me. He played bass. So we did Confront for years. So when I do Confront merchandise and they're saying, you can't do it. Yeah, I can, because I was in there for years. You guys aren't in the band anymore. You brought a band back after 32 years, but we did it after you for a couple of years. So that's just what that is. Just for people who say, but Confront, again, know what you're talking about before you run your mouth, because you don't know what you're talking about. So that's in the order of it went. And then we did, we did One Life Crew, being signed on Victory, which is the biggest hardcore label out there, it all comes down to DeWitt, because DeWitt was, Integrity was on there and DeWitt's reputation with them. And I was in Integrity too. So we got a deal basically like Integrity with really had no songs.
Okay.
So we put this record out and the owner, Tony Brummel, he's all behind it.
You're talking about the first Integrity record?
No, the first One Life Crew record.
Okay.
So we put the first One Life Crew record out, Crime Ridden Society.
But Crime, this deal for Crime Ridden Society with Victory came from DeWitt's reputation with Tony from doing Integrity?
Of all of us, really. But, DeWitt's helped with everything.
And I'm not saying that singularly, but
no, I mean, DeWitt, I mean, who knows if DeWitt got us the record deal, because we're already on his label from Integrity. But
Integrity was on it too.
Yeah, I was in Integrity at that time. I was on everything up until Those for Tomorrow. Then after that, then I did To Die For in 2003. But so we were on Victory. So then that's why how One Life Crew got the deal, obviously. And then we're on there, and the owner knows all the lyrics. He knows all the thing about all the stuff, how the lyrics are.
Okay. Yeah, you had to deliver him this package with the
everything.
Insert.
He knew everything. So then the record comes out, and me and Steve, if you look on YouTube, the Cleveland Riot, me and Steve were hired to do security.
Okay.
At this
is the gig festival in 96.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're doing security, and that's where the record came out. So, dude, I mean, just say there's 1,500 kids there. Just say 1,499. We're like, dude, you guys got to play. Because they know who we are. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They know, these bands, and the biggest
who puts this gig on?
This girl Shauna and this guy, I forget his name, but he's from the band Chalkline.
So they hit you up to do
security. We're friends with all these people, so we did security, and so then Integrity plays.
Are they telling you, are they like, yo, they ask you to play, don't play?
No one ever said that.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Is the climate at this time
the time was this. People loved One Life Crew.
However, is this the turning point where antagonism?
So when we get there, obviously there's some people, and I'm going to say 1,499, just say half and half or more than half. So we're like, okay, we'll do what we'll do. We'll just do the intro one song. After Integrity plays, I get up there and Steve's doing his little spiel. Steve's he's nuts. He knows what he's just, he riles people up. That's what, that's.
I personally believe that's your job.
It's called hardcore. It's not softcore. It's hardcore, okay?
I personally believe that's what should be done at a show, but I know that there's disagreements about that.
So the whole day, people are dancing, but, they're whatever. We go hit into the intro. The place goes fucking nuts. No one was moving like this. Fucking place is nuts. And if you watch the video, this little skinny kid, and taking the whole our whole road, all our friends on stage are fucking skinheads. They're fucking big, fat fucks. This kid goes, fuck you, you fat Jew, to Steve.
Oh, okay.
And Steve's like, then he keeps singing, and he's like, throws the mic down. He goes, push people. And at this time, everyone goes off the stage. I'm keep playing. I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to stop. Then I was fuck, I get my backpack, my jacket. We go out, and people are just boom, 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 boom. We didn't lose. We fought a whole room. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get involved, you're going to get involved. No one. I mean, it was a fight. People, it's not like anyone won or lost, but it's just like shit went down. And then the funny thing about that show, that they put the money in the car, the promoters.
Yeah.
And someone broke the window to the car and took the money box.
Wow.
That was staged.
Yeah.
period. But that was the whole thing. And a week later, we're kicked off.
You get a letter from Tony.
The label, yeah, I have all that. I can even say
you post. No, you posted the letter. The letter says, effective immediately. Yeah, yeah. One Life Crew is dismissed from
the
contract.
We're the only straight edge hardcore band that's ever got kicked off a label for being racist or anything. Because there's no hardcore band's got the shit that's gone through with us. But there's no hardcore band with that song, Murdario Stomp. Pure Disgust is about the legal immigration, but the Murdario Stomp is the intro. And I'll say this on record, and it's not like they were so cool, because again, we only did a handful of shows. There's no band in the history of music, whether it's Don't Stop Believing by fucking Journey, probably played more, but no song by a band has ever been covered more than the Murdario Stomp. Agnostic Front did Crucified. It wasn't their song, but it's still thousands of people, but millions of people, not millions, but it's the most covered song still to this day. Like I was just showing you this band I put on my Instagram page. It'll be at the bottom of the screen at the end of the thing where you can get to it. They're from Indonesia. Like, I mean, these talking about illegal immigrant, but these people from Indonesia, Finland, I mean, you know, Spain, Europe, all over the fucking place. They covered the song and the people in the States to this day. So, I mean, it definitely made a mark on it, but that's the history of that. So when that record came out, then, you know, then we're doing some demo stuff. And then years later, we got signed to a label, Too Damn Hype out of Philly. Shout out to Met. He put the CD out, and just a CD, never vinyl till I put it out. But in Europe, it was called Justice. It couldn't be American Justice. It was just Justice. So it was always, you know, it was bootlegged in Europe and, you know, merchandise. The people still do that kind of stuff, but that's pretty much all of our stuff.
Let me go back a little bit. So after this gig in 96, you're kicked off Victory Records. How are you feeling about this? You guys think...
Stupid. Corny.
Obviously that, but are you feeling like...
We didn't give a fuck.
But you're ready to go to war. You went to war.
I mean, you got to defend yourself. You know what I'm saying? We would go to war with fucking little dudes that look like girls and fucking their tight pants. I'm not going to fucking worry about you. You have enough to worry about.
So I mean, you make no hesitation to start firing back while people are...
No, it's hardcore. I mean, I can see if we're fucking balletists, we're the fucking ballerinas. You're hardcore people. You're supposed to defend yourself. I mean, we're not going to
worry.
You don't listen. People who are saying this stuff, they don't know. They don't know us. You're reading stuff, but what you're reading, you should be like, man, this is pretty accurate of what's going on in our world. I mean, it's a crystal ball. Look, fast forward 20 fucking 30 years later, you're like, fuck, we should release that record right now. And we would be on CNN.
Were you surprised at the level of sensitivity?
100%. You're talking about hardcore. Went fucking fruity, dude. It went through a fruity stage, and hardcore's still relevant more than ever. But, you know, it went through a fruity stage. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, I don't like I always said, Text is the Reason, Emo Kids Suck. We have a skit like that. I don't like Text is the Reason. I don't know any of their songs, but I've heard them. They're not our kind of music. So you got to poke fun, do jokes. Again, you know, just with Princess Di, the crash and stuff, maybe not good taste, but it's relevant of what's going on. It's a drunk ass limo driver.
Were you surprised that people were that even still to this day, does it surprise you that people are that offended by your guys' sense of humor that they will try to shut you down, make it so you can't play, make it so you can't
stupid.
Work.
It's just stupid. I mean, of course they're going to do it.
But were you surprised? Are you
100%?
When you went, because you
always
went, you
always surprised. Because the reason you're surprised is because you're talking about hardcore. That's like I always say it like this. That's like Slayer saying, you know what? We're not going to sing about devil. We're going to go on towards Striper, and we're going to talk about To Hell with the Devil. That's weird to even think that. So when you talk about bands, hardcore bands, you talk about hardcore people really come, you know, we're gutter. We're fucking hardcore people. We're not fucking playing fucking stadiums. We're fucking getting gas money. We're trying to sell our shirts. I mean, so you're talking about people who should really be on the same page.
just because I'm from the suburbs and you're from the fucking ghetto doesn't mean that fucking we can't get along. Like, people just don't get along. But I don't give a fuck if fucking someone's going to talk shit. They're going to talk shit. They're going to, you have your right to talk shit. I mean, you know, I mean, I remember seeing pictures, taking pictures, people sell merch and they took our records and they broke them up and they put fuck One Life Crew with swastikas and shit. I mean, dude, do what you got to do. The bottom line is this, you cracked the record, but you still bought it. So I'm not surprised on anything. I mean, would you be surprised? I mean, you're in hardcore.
So that's what.
It's just weird that people would go out of your way to.
That's what I want to get at. I had something similar happen to me, and frankly, I was surprised. I was shocked even. And this is why I think when anyone asks you, oh, if you would have done this differently, would you have been a bigger band, something like that? I think all of those arguments are completely moot. For the reason that, for me personally, and I'd imagine it's the same for you, what took me out of it is what got me into it. To me, that machismo, that ball busting, that shit talking, that fighting, that making fun of people, that is so inseparable from what the spirit of DIY music is to me, that it's stupid to even try to wonder, oh, what if I would have been nice when I did it? Because I never would have done that. I only would have done it that way. And I felt the same way, where I thought, I'm on the same page. Everyone else wants to talk shit and get loose and have fun like this and break each other's balls. And frankly, it was shocking to me when I realized that there's dudes involved in this that can't even handle it. And not only are there dudes involved in it, I'm interested in your perspective. Frankly, at this point, I think those dudes are who run it. I think it's something that there's pockets of real dudes who have experiences like we have growing up, or whatever you want to blame it on, but they relate to it in the way we relate to it. We relate to it viscerally, violently. We relate to it passionately, but it's aggressive. And frankly,
what kind of music we play is aggressive. If we played like John Fogerty, Lynyrd Skynyrd, we wouldn't dress the way we are. We wouldn't be the way we are. This is the music. It's hard. It's hard. That's hardcore. It's aggressive. It's street. It's everything.
When I explain to people on the outside of this how just absolutely sensitive and just total, just how big of a fucking pussy everyone involved in this shit is in hardcore, to people that don't do hardcore, they all say the exact same thing. In hardcore, in death metal, you're telling me everyone there is a crybaby about being politically correct, or you can't make fun of people, you can't talk shit, you can't have a dissenting opinion. But I'm curious in hearing that for you, because if anything, I'm feeling like I'm a bit more nihilistic, in the sense that after that, when I see they got away with it. Now they can't stop you from doing what you're going to do. They can't stop me from doing what I'm going to do.
You could talk. But
they can stop you from playing a gig.
Well, hey, no one's going to stop us from doing anything.
No.
What happens is, you know, with the promoters, and when we do shows, we deal with people that we know. We're in the clubs where, you know, because they'll try to get the clubs, you know, they'll blast the same all the clubs.
The only gigs I play locally are gigs I book because of it. So, you know what I mean? I'm in a position now where, and I've done that, you know what I mean? I've done for the past couple years. I get the venue, I bring the equipment, and that's what it takes for me to play a show. And on the one hand, I have a deeper appreciation of what goes into a show on the promoter's end, on the engineer's end, on the venue owner's end. But on the other hand, I can't say it hasn't affected my viewpoint on it, where I go, personally, I think this shit is for soft ass people. I think it's for people who.
Well, it's not hardcore anymore. I mean,
well, what do you think? You seem like you still have a. You seem like you still have a passion, or you. Oh, have no, listen, some optimism about.
I have a lot of friends in the business. Obviously, I've been doing this shit since probably 84. A lot of friends in the business. I still listen to fucking Agnostic Front every day. Agnostic Front, Slayer, Killing Time. I listen to bands like that. That's music I like, you know. But I also listen to, you know, I've kids. So Taylor Swift, I'm a Swiftie.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it, you know, but you're not going to stop anyone from doing what they like. I mean, you could say, oh, you know, you can put up stuff there. They're this and they're that, and they're this and they're that, and these people, but. I mean, you're going to stop some, you know, some traffic to our websites getting it taken down. You know what I'm saying? And fucking they're this and they're that. But not everyone believes what people spew out of their mouth. I mean.
But they did change the way, like for me personally, you know, to play a show became a different thing when you have to
The last show we played was in Mansfield, and we put out the shirt, One Life Crew, Trump Corps 2020. And bands dropped off the bill, and it was a holiday weekend. Some people didn't show up. So it was dude, it's fucking small shows in Mansfield, Ohio. So it was a small venue. Probably 40, 50 people were there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that's probably with the bands. I mean, there's a lot of people dropped off, but we could do a Trump shirt and whatever. But, you know, we went over to Europe. Obviously, it was a couple sold out shows, fucking headline of fest. And, but I don't care if fucking two people show up to the show. I mean, dude, the two people that came to see us play, like, I mean, obviously we're doing these shows in Connecticut, Philly, and Jersey in June, and people hit me up all the time. They got to book their plane, from all over Europe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So people are going to be there, but like I said, I don't give a fuck if two people are there. You know, our guarantee is still our guarantee. Fucking, I mean, you know, and we're not doing it for anything for the money. Like, when we do those shows, I'm going to do fucking shirts for fucking $10 that weekend. I mean, fucking, we're not going to, you know, I don't care about shit like that, but you're never going to stop liking what you like. And the thing with our band, we can do it when we want to do it. This isn't our fucking job. Like most other nerds out there, that's what they do. They live and breathe. I mean, every day I'm on my Instagram because people all over the world, you know, ask questions and blah, blah, blah. So I met you or you emailed me, but. People have questions for bands. They're not hitting up Slayer. They're hitting up One Life Crew. They're hitting up Strife. They're hitting up fucking Integrity. They're hitting up fucking Ringworm. They're hitting up bands that they like. Not everybody, you know, just because I don't like a certain band doesn't, I don't tell people don't like them. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do that. And the moral of the story is if you're hardcore, you're pretty much, you know, you don't got to be hardcore till the day you die. But, you know, if you look at someone, you know, 55 years old, that did music their whole life. There's no 401k. There's no hospitalization. There's no money. I mean, you get a real job, yeah. But when you do the music thing, you're going on tour and you spend all your money. I mean, we've been fortunate. Bands that I've done to just tour our whole life. You know, all over the world. You know, that's a gift. You know, the bands that when I was in Integrity, the gift is that one of the bigger hardcore bands. You know, when we release Those for Tomorrow, that's a groundbreaking record. So when you're in a band like that, you know, like Dwid, he toured till he's fucking, till he's dead. I mean,
yeah.
And still make money. Those are gifts. But that's all pretty much what, you know, for him, it's what he has. I mean, he's artistic. And again, this isn't like, I'm not dogging a kid, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, I'm just giving compliments, but he's an artistic, you know, artistic guy. So he does, you know, art for different bands and guest vocals.
I mean, he wears a bunch of different.
Yeah, yeah. So he does what he does. I mean, again, I'm not friends with him, but you know, I don't do art like that. I mean, if you need me to do some shirts, PM me. I do band shirts. You know,
any shirt.
You know, bar mitzvahs, fucking any shirt. You know, you have a company, hit me up. You know, what I'm saying stuff like that. But you're hardcore. You listen to music. That's it's a commitment. Hardcore is different than fucking all the other music because hardcore is just like. Like the other thing about people, One Night Crew's racist. Hardcore is the only genre of music where if you're a racist, I remember we used to beat the fuck out of Nazis at hardcore shows. Bye. You know what I'm saying? But we're straight edge kids that are Nazis. Well, first of all, our singer is a Turkish Muslim Jew. I'm Jewish and Sicilian. Our guitarist is Russian. Our other guitarist is Pakistani. And our other guitarist is Irish. Who are we against? Like, think of what I just said. Who are we against? We're racist? you got to know what you're talking about before you say shit. And people don't. They just fucking chop, 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 chop. But if you get to know somebody, like, people are just a fucking, you can have any band from here. Any band from here, look up online, PM them. A lot of people don't have the PM, you can't PM them, but find out information and fucking, you know what I'm saying? And get to know people. Some people don't want to get to know people, but you hit me up and 2 days later, boom, we're here.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's,
and this morning, of the morning of our thing, a record label hits you up and says it. See, they keep saying it. He's a pedophile. He's this and he's that. And he's this and he's that. Just people chirping. The birds are chirpers. Just.
And that's where I'm at with this is now when people use the word Nazi, it's completely meaningless because we have people that now it's,
there's
you
racism.
Know, they didn't put ice in my soda. They're trying to
put ice at the border and fuck the ice is coming strong, man. That's a strong ice.
They're a Nazi. They're trying to systemically
everybody
execute me.
Every kind of people are racist about something. You're not going to say there's certain Irish, Italian, white, black. No, those people, none of them are racist. Everyone has something about them that triggers them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like me, if me and you were driving in the road rage, we're driving and this car in front of us with that big blue handicap thing in mm-hmm. the window, they're going 23 and a 35. Mm-hmm. The first thing we say, you stupid fucking handicap old motherfuckers. That's hurtful. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it to them, but we say it in our car. Everyone has something to say. Everyone has something to say about everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's not like anyone's tougher. I'm not tough. You're not. No one's tough. But when they talk this stuff, just say it to me. June 20, 21st, 22nd, we'll be on the East Coast. Look, show up to Philly. Show up to Jersey. Show up to Connecticut and say something to my face. That's all you got to do. I didn't say I was tough. I never. Dude, I mean, someone put me on a podcast with these other people that don't like me. You know, and they could be in Florida, or I could be in Cleveland. You could be in fucking Texas. Get us on a podcast. Ask us questions.
And I'd also say it's very easy to be very tolerant in very congenial circumstances.
I never respond to nobody. I don't say names. Yeah. I don't say nothing. No empire stuff. Because there's empires in every city. Very dark. But I don't say nothing about nobody. Just saying.
It's a
people
lot.
People say they know me. Get me on a podcast with these people.
And you know what? And show me how you react when you get cut off in traffic. Show me you never dropped a single slur in traffic, dude. Oh, wow. Okay.
100%.
Mister.
But people don't.
Oh, and I bet he wipes his ass perfect every time. Never needs to rewipe his ass. Never drops racial slurs in traffic. Yeah, dude.
They come out like they're fucking crystal clean, but dude.
I hope one day to be evolved to that point.
But that's just life. People, you know, it's like you said, it's funny. As you laugh, it's funny because you can say what you want, but you don't know nothing. You really don't know nothing what you're talking about. You're preaching bullshit.
Appreciate all that. My experience is that after going through this weeding out period, after saying, you know, hey, this is who I am, and if you're a pussy, we're not going to get along because I'm not changing who I am. I appreciate
there's the pussies people. That love our band too, though.
It's 100%. Like, no, 100%.
I'm saying, I mean, but listen, we always say this. This is one thing we always say, and it's funny. And so we say, listen, the people are out there saying, fuck One Life Crew, we fucking hate them. Secretly, they take this lubricant, right? And they lube up their hand. They press play, they put on One Life Crew, and they just jerk off to our music. They secretly hate us, but they jerk off to our music. Like, because they can't tell people that they like the band.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you like, we're just a band. We're not like fucking superheroes. We're not here to try to change the world, but we play a certain music that, I mean, it is what it is. It's hardcore. It's angry. I mean, it's angry music. That's what hardcore is. You could be more, you could be a positive, angry person, but you know, it's not that we're not positive or anything, but I mean, the lyrics come from, it's like if you watch the news for 7 days, you watch the news, you want to do a 7-song EP. Monday, you can see what's the topic about. Oh, it's about illegal immigration. Tuesday, theft. Wednesday, you know, so our stuff is like stuff like that. It's letting you know the news and your world in a hardcore vibe. If you don't like the news, I mean, then go listen to people talking about Tom and Jerry and fucking Woody Woodpecker. You know, they're the fruit, we call them fruits, they're fucking just weirdos. I just, you know, do what you do. But again, we don't go on people's pages. We don't bother people. We don't say nothing about any of these people. It's just people bashing us. Just whips, whipping us, shooting, talking shit, accusing. No one chirps back. I think a couple times I've chirped back, but I mean, it's something like if someone says, fuck, one life through a bunch of fat racists, I'm like, whatever, fruit. You know what I'm saying? But since we say fruit, they're like, oh my God, they're talking about the transgender world. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I always do podcasts, I always say there's people that we don't like. We hate BLM and we hate the transgender shit. We don't hate weird to us, okay? But in the Black Lives Matter, it's not black. It's not Black Lives Matter is not black. It's everybody for the rights of black people. I think it's even owned by a white Jewish person. Who knows, I think. But I don't really care. But and then when I say these things about like the transgender, there's a my friend from New York City in Harlem. I talk to her every day. It was a guy, he's a girl now. No names mentioned, but I talk to her every day. And she's like, she tells me, like, you know what I'm saying? Because she always says, you know, you don't like transgender. But I'm not into it. You're my friend. I talk to her all the time. You're my friend. I'm not into the whole thing. I don't get it. I don't want to learn about it. Don't teach me about it. It's nothing that I care. I don't care about it. I care about my friends. You know, but you know, like I always say, when you change your whole life around, get ready to be fucking made fun of or poked at. And if you don't have thick skin, definitely don't do something where you're going to feel more sensitive and hurt your feelings every day. You know, I mean, I don't care what anyone does in their whole life. You fucking want to shave your head or cut your cock off and fucking get some tits and fucking whatever. Do what you want to do. It has nothing to do with me. But if you're my friend, I stand by you. I'm there for you. People leave people. You know what I'm saying? People don't have fucking respect, common courtesy, you know, dignity. They have nothing. I'm not a perfect person, but I stand with, that's my friend. One of my closest friends. I talk to more than probably talk to anybody. But you have to learn things before you, when I say, I was used to this podcast, you know, we're not into this, we're not into that. Listen, I have an experience with Black Lives Matter from my store. I hate them. That's a bully group. You know, if you want to bully, you get six people, I'll get six people, and I'll meet you somewhere where there's no cameras, and let's handle it. But all you do is you bully in numbers. You don't care about other people's families. You only care about yours. They're just one-sided, hypocritical fruits. Period.
Hypocritical fruits. Were you surprised that when shit was going down like this, that the people that used to have your back, the people you grew up with, the people you did shit with, well, were you surprised that?
Well, here's
let me ask, is this how it happened? Is it that pretty much overnight once the controversy hits, half these people?
Here's the thing, though. You got to do what's best for your family, your reputation, your band. So when you're friends with us for 10 years, and you know, with One Life Crew guys, and say you're in a band, you know, because obviously we're a bigger band, we're friends with bigger people. They're not wearing our shirts anymore.
Yeah.
They're not at home. They're listening to our stuff. They're calling, dude, Chubb, fucking, you know, fucking, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they're just jerking off to our music, but we're not friends with them. We're PC. We're PC. We can't be friends with these guys. I'm not mad at it. I mean, it's what it is.
Were you surprised?
There are people that, listen, it's like the thing when things are great and people are on the train, when we run out of gas, people are scattering all over the place. They're not with us. Mm-hmm. They're not with you. They're not with the Cavs, the Indians, the Browns. They're only good when it's good. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm not, dude. I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, you still have your people who like the people. The people, how I see it, the people that like your band, they like your band. The people that like our band, they love our band. There's a difference. They don't just like it; they love it. And that's the thing with One Life Crew. It's again, we did a handful of shows. We're nobodies, but for some reason, people just to this day they love it, and we don't care about the YouTube numbers or how many followers we have, or you know the how many fucking Instagram posts we have. It's never been about that. It's just me, since I run everything. This is what I own a clothing company, so I post stuff all day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm always going to be relevant with it, whether we have 100 followers or 77,000 followers. I have 100 people. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody follows you either. You know, not just because I like your band. Like, I like Slayer. I don't even think I follow Slayer.
I don't think I follow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe on Facebook. I don't know. Maybe I do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, some people don't follow the bands, but then there's some people. Like this morning, some people stalk. Mm-hmm. They're psycho. They can't. Oh my god! Oh my god! Chubby Fresh is gonna do an interview, so I gotta fucking tell this guy he's a pedophile. He's an asshole. He's a piece of shit. You know, so you got people like that. The stalkers. Psychos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at anything. I mean, I don't blame anybody. Again, you got to do what's better. Again, as an older guy, you're talking when I was 20, maybe I would have cared like, man, I thought he was my friend. But then I have to realize as I get older, I'm like, well, dude, I mean, he can't be friends with racists. We don't get a lot of shows. And some of these crew people don't like us because we're friends with one of the people that I don't get along with. They're friends with them. Like, I mean, the hardcore scene, there's, you know, you could say there's unity and people have their little, their fest. Every fest, the same bands. I mean, it is what it is. It's run by gangsters. It's not run by the hardcore scene. It's run by gangster kids. And I mean, that's just what it is. That's what music is.
I appreciate that. I was naive to it myself when it happened. You know, I was shocked that, you know, all these people that joked around with us in private would throw us under the bus in public to save their image. I was really naive to how attached people are to their image. And it just took time to, because it was upsetting for me that, you know, you were at shows all the time. I was at shows all the time. And, you know, when that was, to an extent, that was taken away from me when that went down. So I had to find new ways to engage with the things I was passionate about. Because I had learned to do it in a certain way where you play a show and we're showing up and me and all our friends are having a fucking ball, having a blast, talking shit, having fun, being...
Comedy,
cocky to the other bands.
Comedy is good for your soul.
I agree.
Laughing is a good thing.
I totally
agree. Some people just don't like to laugh.
Some people
can go see a comedy and the best comedian guy in the world, and you know they're not gonna laugh. Like your cheeks, like they're glass and they're gonna break if you even smile. I'm not sitting here in front of the world and saying that I'm perfect. I'm not what people say.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say what you want. I mean, if someone was nasty things, they would be in jail. And if people have proof of anything, go to the police. Report it.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Accusing people is accusing people.
And that's easy to do, especially behind anonymity. It's a lot harder to be yourself.
I'm tough. I'm cool. Meanwhile... This person from the Empire is 26 years old. You know nothing about me or anything. You hear stuff from people, your best friend, and then you run with that. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You know zero. I mean, you know nothing. What do you know?
you're obsessed with a band, guarantee you wipe the dude's ass of the singer of the band. You definitely got cum thrown all over your face as an initiation. You definitely are a sucker.
Have you seen that happen? Dude's getting bukkakied into hardcore games.
I could imagine.
I can as well.
I could imagine. Because sometimes the empire gets dark and you don't, with no lights on, you don't know fucking, is that a dick in my ass or is that a woman's tongue? So you got to realize, you know what I'm saying? Like fucking just, shh. The lights are up. I don't know what happened. Well, I mean, yeah.
Let's go. Let's,
just leave the empire. Let's come back to the cold ass Cleveland where our hands are fucking freezing.
Back to this story chronologically. Let's move it along so I can get you on your way back to work. Back to
what I do.
Back to being fresh. You signed to Victory Records. You release what many people call a classic hardcore record.
Classic, yes, sir.
In 96, there is a riot. At one of your shows between the people.
No, it wasn't our show.
At a show you're working, you ended up playing last minute. There's a riot.
Playing.
You get a letter shortly after this show from Victory Records saying, we want nothing to do with your band. We're burning all the original copies. I never agreed to these lyrics,
etc. Complete lie to this
complete
day.
Lie.
Complete lie because he knew everything about us.
And then you guys double down. You release some. What I'd say is your magnum opus, American Justice, in which American Justice has
everything,
all your chops of being a hardcore band while also having all
your comedic.
They should
have got a Grammy.
I agree. So, but after this, this is the nail in the coffin for the being friends with everyone you used to be friends with. For everyone that has a problem, you said, you know, we thought it over and we think you should suck our cocks from the back.
Well, the thing is like this. I'm not saying we didn't do that, but I'll say this. What we did was we put out Crime Rent Society Part 2. We put out what we wanted to. We didn't give a fuck what getting kicked off and being called names. We definitely made it bolder,
definitely.
Harder,
funnier,
stronger, funnier. It's not like Crime Ridden is a hard record. Just and to where American Justice, because we it was basically me and Steve and John Lockjaw who played the bass in the band, but it was us three. He played guitar and bass on the record, so it's us three. And the songs that we had were more like so it's not tuned down heaviness hardcore. It's more punk rock fast hardcore.
Yeah.
You know,
so after this,
we didn't give a we didn't say like, oh, we're gonna put a nail in the coffin or we're gonna put up people's ass. We just put out what we like: comedy, hardcore, funniness, amusement.
But whoever
facts,
yeah,
but facts.
But whoever had a problem with it before,
oh, you're yeah,
definitely. You did not make amends.
But stay away from it then.
No. It's not a criticism.
But they don't stay away from it.
I'm just explaining the trajectory.
Hey, these guys are back. They are so fat. They are pieces of shit. Racist people.
So after this, is this when does the band dissolve? The band dissolves
the
shortly after.
Never, like Mean Steve says, we'll never break up. We'll be doing fucking this till we're 90.
I see.
Man, One Life Crew will never break up.
Did you have aspirations before
our
that?
Kids are gonna listen when we're dead? Our kids are gonna fucking run the pages and put the music out and make money. It's a never ending. It's not that it's a money grab because this is what we do. This is my business, my job. Okay,
grab the money.
But people, music, like people. Okay, what band has been gone for fucking 50 years? Just say Elvis.
The Misfits.
Just say Elvis. No, they still do the things. Just say Elvis. He's dead.
Okay.
Do you think that people still... Do you think people just... They don't buy no Elvis stuff? He's done. No. They buy his stuff. There's a fucking $1 million... We're hardcore guys. We're not Elvis, but million-dollar industry. Yeah. So people are still going to buy our stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there I got boxes of vinyl right there. Fucking make all the shirts here. You're never going to stop, you know, hardcore bands. Especially, like, I always think... Nazi racist band. Like, we're straight edge kids from Cleveland, Ohio that live in the suburbs. We're, you know, look, some of us, you know what I'm saying? But you're not going to stop these bands. We're always going to do this. I mean, people are putting a little thing in the road, you know what I'm saying? But you're never going to stop it completely. You can stop business and get people, you know, shut down from their stores and, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, when people are doing this, there's repercussion for anything anyone does in this world. You know, but you just can't go fucking clock people because everyone's like holding their phones out, like cameras and, you know what I'm saying? But me, I have a family. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to take it personal, of course. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? With the lawyers and stuff, and when stuff's said and done, I'm just going to be like this. I'm going to make it, it's raining, man. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying?
I know
so
what you're saying.
That's just, those are facts.
So you continue on.
So we still do the bands. We do some shows. Like, so fast forward to 2000. God, what was it 2012? There's years that we don't. You know, we're not doing stuff because you know we're putting a record on them. Just you know,
you're doing bike stuff.
I'm doing my bike stuff, and
you did heavyweight too.
Yeah, I still did music, and then, but then we got hired. We did a festival in London. 2-day thing. We headlined both nights. Then we did a festival in 2013, a year after that, or before that, at a club called Reverb in Reading with like okay. Cro-Mags, Mad Bug, Nuts, everyone. It was a huge awesome. 3-day festival. We played that. What else did we do? We did that Mansfield.
When did you start doing the label?
Only like 2 years ago, because I was like, dude, I don't want people fucking spending thousands of dollars on our records. I'll put it out for fucking $30, you know?
So this is all...
And I did heavyweight shows for the years, and I used to do Crime Ridden Society as my set.
Okay.
You know, One Life Crew. And so when I played Detroit, Steve would always come. Me and Steve, because he lived in Michigan. So he would come and he would sing with the band. So, I mean, those aren't One Life Crew shows, but, you know, we're still relevant. But, yeah, I mean, we're doing a couple shows, but that's... The band's never stopped. It just, you know, I did the start of the label a couple years ago just because and I always did shirts, but then when I did the label, I'm like, well, this is cool. And I was like, dude, I can put out a record. I can choose colors, make it kind of funny. Still funny with the Kobe, Donald Trump gold. Like, yeah, people, you know what I'm saying? Have fun with what you're doing.
Did you at any point ever feel like how it went down put a wrench into the plan? Did you have bigger aspirations for One Life
Crew? It's funny you say that, because I remember me and Blaze and Steve were talking. We're like, if all that shit never happened, we would have been just as big, if not bigger, than Madball.
And is that what you wanted to do?
We would have never. We listened to Madball set up. I always say that if there was no Madball set up, there'd be no One Life Crew. That was the blueprint for us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But did you do when you were doing it? Were you like,
Steve was also in college and, you know, doing law school, and like Steve, you know, he has a corporate job. He makes great money.
And he was always doing that the whole time. Did you guys used to say, man, one day we'll be on the road 300 days out of the year?
No. But we always said if we'd have stayed together, we would have been just as big as all these other bands. And it's because, you know, because it's hard the stuff that he sings about it's always going to be relevant. Not everyone is here like, oh, sunshiny day. It's fucking freezing. We're in Cleveland, Ohio. It's fucking, we're frostbitten. You know what I'm saying? We're shitting ice cubes. It's fucking so cold. Not everything's perfect. You know what I'm saying? But if the racism wouldn't have been there, I think that One Life Crew, we would have did a lot more than we did. But it could have been a bigger band, just because it's hard. The hardcore we play was like, it's crowd participation music.
Where
you have intro, you have pixelized, fast part, slow part, build up to a dance part, sing-alongs. Those are parts of hardcore that we played. And, you know, that's why when you see some of these bands playing, people just sit there like this. You kids are supposed to just go crazy. That's what you go to hardcore show to get away from your parents, your job, your bullshit, and have fun. But not now. These kids go to shows, it's fucking, everyone's a different scene, a different crew, and people are just, they're not, I don't think they're there for like each other. I think everyone, if there's 157 people at a hardcore show, this is my opinion, if there's 157 people at a hardcore show, I think 157 people should high five each other and be kind to each other, because you're there for that. Whether you're hard, tatted,
fucking pierced face, fucking leathers, whatever you are, girl, guy, transgender, gay, whatever you are, you're there for the show. So why, when you go to a show, why doesn't everyone get along? Weird. Why would you go there if you don't like the bands? You go there to get along. That's back in the day when we used to go like do shows, like people would go, like, not everyone had money, but someone would get that big jug of iced tea.
Yeah.
And like fucking 50 people would drink off of it. Nowadays, you're like, oh my God, COVID, we can't drink out of it. Who, you know what I'm saying? But people, they shared.
What hasn't the woke left taken from us?
Fucking that COVID shit was insane, dude. I mean, never in my life have seen. And then with these planes crashing and the wildfires and the tornadoes, and the world is just fucking, something's wrong.
I'm really happy to see some of the people that were fired from their jobs during COVID getting justice in court, suing the shit out of the companies that sued them.
Well, dude, you have to, again, you make sure that you cross your T's and dot your I's and make sure you know what you're talking about. Because that's always going to be you can fall back on that. I mean, if someone's going to sue you, do something. Just like, you have to have facts, just like what I'm going through. You can call me whatever you want. You can say someone did this and that. Then go get a lawyer, go to the police, go to the FBI, do what you got to do. If you don't have facts in this life, like you said, people, when you get wrongfully accused, what do people do? They go right for your pockets. People have gone for my pockets. They're emptier than they used to be. But one day, I'm going to see myself in court. And I got fucking, dude, everything. I got fucking what everyone says, what they're going to do. With names and pictures and places and photos. Dude, I mean, if people just shut the fuck up, I wouldn't even care. Just shut the fuck up. Mind your business. You can say what you want, but, you know, it's, you know, or just meet somewhere then. Meet somewhere and squash it like a man. Sign a contract that you're not going to call the cops when your nose is broke.
Yeah.
Or you're fucking, you have no teeth. So, I mean, those are just, you know, people, not me, I'm saying people in general, like, just be careful in the world. The world's crazy. This is a crime-ridden society. Just saying.
Where's the unity?
There could be unity, but everyone wants to, they don't want unity. People, you know, just say drug dealers. They do it because they have to. You think people fucking want to risk their life every day, fucking where they're going to jail, they're not going to see their kid, their girlfriend's pregnant, and the girl's having the kid while he's in jail? Like, you're not seeing your kid being born. So, like, there's a lot of stupid shit. The world does need more unity, 100%. And I know we're joking around, not like we're an emo fruits or anything, but you need to be more respectful. I mean, there's a lot of eye-openers in the last years. I mean, there's a lot of eye-openers people should be, you know, more respectful. You know, as it takes away from hardcore, it's just like, you know, does your parents know that you're a fucking piece of shit? Do they know that you try to ruin people's lives when people have families and children? They know you do that? They condone that? That's animal behavior. That's bad. That's just horrible. I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of stupid shit, but I'm fucking, you know. You know, nothing fucking like what people say and do. It's like, I mean, like I said, I don't really, you know, one day people are going to cross paths.
Do you have any optimism about that when you're talking about these problems in the world?
I mean, dude, you can't see anything getting better. I mean, everything's gotten, what has gotten better? Everyone's like, oh yeah. What's gotten better with from people to the world issues? Nothing's gotten better. I mean, the economy, what's gotten better? I mean, fucking, you know, what's gotten better? You know, nothing. And first of all, I'm just saying, like, me personally, as you get older, there's more problems. Health, hair. I mean, you got beautiful hair. I mean,
mine's
fucking
falling out.
But you have beautiful hair. I'm bald. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, and you know, if I let it grow, I'd have a yarmulke. I'd have a bald spot right there. You know what I'm saying? But I shaved my head before I was even losing hair.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot more problems in this world than music.
So what I like is when you're talking just chronologically, you notice in between that no matter how much time you guys have taken off, there's a demand for your music. There's a demand for One Life Crew merch. There's a demand for what you've created.
Good stuff's gonna stay relevant.
And it has. And
you know, like your band right here. Okay, I'm sure I'm gonna like it. I mean, it looks like our old Die Hard stickers. Okay, that's funny because I know he did that. So you may sell 3,000 copies, and next year, 30 copies. Year after that, no followers. I'm blessed that I come from Cleveland Music, Confront, Die Hard, Integrity, One Life Crew, Ringworm, you know, those bands, Face Value, those bands that they've paved the way for everybody. Whether it's, I mean, we've all blood, sweat, and tears around the world so you could put on your record Cleveland Hardcore. Because that's going to sell. You know what I'm saying? Look at us. Some of us don't talk. We threaten each other. We hate each other. We're fucking talking shit from all across the world for nothing. All you got to do is say, listen, PM some, say, look, I'm sorry. What can we do to fix things? But people don't do that. I'm willing to fix anything and just, you know, let bygones be bygones. I don't got to break bread with you. I'll never break bread with you. I got to do shows with you, nothing but just stop doing what you're doing. But mean it, though. Don't be a fucking coward, nerd.
Thank you for paving the way.
Yeah, no.
One racist, pedophilic Nazi to another.
Yeah.
Thank you
for doing
what you've done.
Aren't titles great?
You could be anything you want to be.
You could be anything you want to be. I mean, but you gotta own it. If you do something wrong, you do it wrong. But I mean,
that's what I'd like people to see. I'd like people to see
see you for you.
Yeah, and what I want the kids
he's this and he's that, like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
And what I want, if anyone watches this that hasn't had experiences like we've had, I want them to know that it's not a death sentence if you got some dudes that are jerking their cocks over trying to tear you down or excluding you or whatever.
People love that shit.
And they want to be miserable with everyone. They'd much rather be miserable with everyone than happy or content alone. People just, it's surprised me time and time again, the lengths people will go to stay with their social group, regardless of how false of their persona it is, regardless of how disingenuous they need to be to keep that connection with everyone.
But don't you want to go to bed happy?
That's how I feel.
And I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not into that whole religion-y thing. I'm just, I always say I'm a human. I mean, I always say I'm proud to be Italian, Sicilian, or Jewish, or hardcore. But at the end of the day, everyone's human beings. And you have to listen. You can't, I mean, I know that sounds a little emo, but at the end of the day, you want to be gangster your whole fucking day? I mean, really, do we want to be gangster? I mean, fucking just because I'm tattooed up doesn't fucking mean I'm gangster. It's just fucking part of the life that I chose. Do I regret anything? I don't regret anything for my tattoos and anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I regret in life doing. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
I think all you can do is keep on keeping on, you pay attention, and you take action. You get boots on the ground, you know what I mean? You could have been emo. You could have said, poor me. So you never stopped. You noticed people are paying money for this merch. People are paying out the ass for...
I'm the only official merchandise for us, but you'll see people who bootleg it, like any band.
But go get your fucking bread from what you helped birth into the world and get that from people. That's what I'd like to say just for anyone. A lot of people don't have these kinds of experiences because it takes courageousness and it takes a level of grit to...
It's not like anyone's millionaires either, though. I mean, fucking...
No,
like you said, you come from these areas. Like, dude, my knuckles say self-made. Like, I do everything for myself. Like, no one ever handed me anything. I'm grateful that I met Dwid and Mean Steve and Aaron and Scott Stearns and these people that did this stuff. And even though these people are here now and I'm hearing, well, he's this and you're that and you're this and you're that and you're that, and people, the name calling and stuff, like those are still part of your history of the people that you're that like I said, that paved the way for people like yourself and all these other bands coming up with the Cleveland Hardcore. We named that term Cleveland Hardcore. That was us. You don't owe us anything, but you know, don't be disrespectful.
And it makes, in times where I felt alone for going about things, where I felt similar repercussions to you guys have, it gives me a sense of camaraderie with you to know that we're not alone in our experience. And not only are we not alone, we're really not even unique in it, and that you guys had done what my band had done when I was 2 years old.
No one created anything. They were fucking no one.
You weren't the first shithead.
We're not the fucking first losers to fucking play, but
the first contrarian.
But I get to say, I get to say that the two of the records that I played on, those Fear Tomorrow by Integrity, was to this day groundbreaking, one of the best hardcore with the solos, the double bass, and with singing style and everything. It's definitely one of a kind. And One Life Crew, Crime Against Society, the only reason I say that it's up there in the top records of all time is just because the relevancy, the you know, take away the Nazi stuff, the hardness, the intro, our intro is in the talk with everyone, best intro of all time. Did something good. You did something okay. So, you know what I'm saying? It's cool to have stuff like that under your belt. You know, we did bands like Bowel. This is just me and Aaron and Lenny from Integrity, and we had Steve Singh, the grime metal band.
What was that called?
Bowel.
Okay.
It's on Dark Empire Records. They put it out. We never seen a copy. Okay. Me and Steve never seen a copy. No money, no shirts, nothing. But it's okay.
You should investigate maybe some legal action.
There's 26 listeners on Spotify.
Okay.
The records, he used to sell for $30. Now they're like $2. It's not like no one's going to buy it.
Yeah.
But it was cool to put out, because, you know, when you're putting out history of Cleveland, that's one of the things. So, not a big deal. But yeah, I mean, the Cleveland hardcore was, back in the day, it was New York hardcore and Cleveland hardcore, like the big scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly because of, you know, Dwid knows how to fucking, you know, that's why he has a million followers. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows to anger people up, you know, but love the music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he created something, you know, it's compare like the biggest bands in Cleveland. Mushroomhead, they're big because they're masked and shit, but, and Chimera did, you know, these big, huge tours. But I think Integrity is just still, I don't think they're doing numbers like other bands, you know, selling mm-hmm. Integrity stuff,
yeah.
But, he still created, could be the biggest Cleveland hardcore thing of all time.
One of.
And that's, look, I don't like the kid, but when you do interviews, you don't got to sit there and badmouth people. You got to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the facts.
Well, and to wrap it up, I want anyone who is interested in your story, anyone who was interested in the lore, to extract any kind of insight from it. To start off with, from my experience, I will say, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. And we are blessed in this country to have freedom of speech, freedom to move, freedom to arm.
No, you are, but people are not going to like your freedom of speech. They're going to cut it down.
And there is no freedom from consequences.
I carry. I know all the amendments. I'm learning all the stuff. It's crazy that everyone could just carry. I think that's just barbaric.
Do you think so?
I mean, it's for safety.
You don't even need a, but we don't even need a license
for
here.
For safety for your family. You do stuff like that. But that, I always say, I was at Walmart, and I was with my family, we're walking out, and this one dude in a sweatsuit had his gun just sitting like this. Like, I at least have mine covered.
Yeah.
He had it out like, you know, I'm like, and you don't know what people are going through every day.
Yeah.
But you're going to let people just carry guns?
No, we had fucking...
Weird, dude. I just think that's fucking weird.
We had... my girlfriend showed me, they had CCTV footage down the street from us. Dude shot himself in the nutsack because he had his fucking... didn't have a safety on. probably had some big, baggy sweatpants.
But in all seriousness, this episode is brought by Kirtland Water, the most freshest water out there. Let's get a little cheers. Salute. We wish it was sponsored by them. God, that would be amazing.
Kirkland sponsorship.
Yeah, right. That was amazing. That's how gangster you are. This guy is so gangster. His water, boom, exploded. But listen, if you want any of my merch, it'll be down underneath. It'll say how to get there. It's www.onelife-records.com. Now, when you click on it, hit categories. It'll say bike styles, One Life Crew, Confront, Die Hard, Mean Streak. Everything's down there. You just click on it, you're a click away. You can also get us on Instagram. I think it's One Life. I don't even know what it is. Well, you can go on Bike Styles, is Bike Styles Worldwide. One Life Crew is One Life Crew Official. And down here, you could get in touch with me. You can go on there and email me. Anybody looking to any merchandise or any questions, any help, guidance, whatever. If you want to call me and say, I heard you're this and I heard you're that, you could do that too. Birds are always going to chirp. But what people need to do is they need to stop what they're doing and realize it's going nowhere and make amends and be better people. I could stop. You could stop. It'd be a great thing. People are just aggravated for people can't get along. You don't see me really respond to anybody. I don't do what all these other people do. I don't go on there. I don't stalk people. Like, I just, if I don't like REO Speedwagon, I don't go on their page like, you guys did that song about the wheels are falling off. I don't do that. People do that. But I appreciate this guy for reaching out. I think it was 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's with fucking Scott Stearns, legendary diehard guitarist. Bat Sacrifice.
That was Scott.
Oh, of course, it's all him. Shit, this is... But yeah, check it out, man. Bat Sacrifice, man. The link will be down there, too, because I plug everyone, man.
Chubby, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure to meet you, brother.
Words of the wise.
Live your life. Have respect. Be courteous. Be kind. But still be a fucking piece of shit, cocksucker, hardcore loser. Cleveland Hardcore for life. Another thing, me and Mean Steve, 54 years old, never had a cigarette, drug, alcohol, liquor, whole life. Never once. Now, I did. I know Dwight will say something to get back at integrity. It's a joke one time. I went like this with a joint.
So never what? You never smoked weed once.
We never, never.
Never once never, have you never, tried.
Never weed. Tried. Well, I mean, with integrity, like I said, Dwight will say, oh, you smoked weed to get back in integrity. Because when I was in on the band for years.
Just yeah.
Like, getting along with people and not getting along.
You said, I want to get back in the band. And they said, smoke.
No, we're, I don't know. We were somewhere. We were at band practice somewhere on the west side. And they're like, take a hit of this weed. You can be back in the band as a joke. It wasn't like
yeah.
a paper.
No, I get it.
Like, I was like, well, probably Bill Clinton. Just yep. saying.
How you didn't get high.
I got high. Ha, 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 ha. Never got high. I tell you what I did once. I was at a show for bikes. I was at Quaker Steak in Valley View.
Yeah, yeah.
They sponsored me, so I never paid for nothing. So afterwards, I'm sitting down with my staff, and there's four of us, and we're in the booth, and they had this thing called Cherry Lemonade.
Okay.
And I was like, man, because I really only drink water.
Yeah.
And like, you know, vitamin water or Gatorade, take my pills, whatever. So I was like, this drink looks amazing. So I bring out drinks. I'm like, drink it. I went, fuck, this is amazing. So I said, you guys got to try this. Fucking, it's amazing. You know? So then the girl comes at the end. She gives us a bill. I was like, no, they, you know. And I knew the girl. She worked at my brother's bar mm-hmm. back in the day. So I said, no, you got to drink. I'm like, I had a lemonade. She says, no, there was vodka in there. I'm like, there's vodka in there. So I'm not straight edge? This never came out until now, by the way. I never told anyone because people are like,
wow.
You're not straight edge. No. Like, I mean, I could have, I don't know if I could have sued anyone for that. But
you broke my eye. I got to turn in my edge card now.
Yeah. But I had, I'll say this. That was the best cherry lemonade ever. Would I have it again? No. But was I happy? 100%.
You don't even want to try weed?
No.
Good for you.
Do you want to try a cock in your asshole? Do you want to try it? I'm saying, do you want to try that?
There's certain things I just don't need to try.
And I don't need to try a beer. This water. God. Oh, you finished it?
Yeah, you got to keep up, man.
You see my thing? Have a good day. We're out of here.
Thank you very much.
No, I had fun.